Okay, we are on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, about a dozen lines from the top, second wide line at the two dots. We did one story with Bruria. Now we have another story with Bruria. Amr lo hahu tzedoki lebruria. There was a certain Sadducee, or a heretic, however you want to read it, said to Bruria, asked her a question. It says, Ksiv, it says, it's one of the haftorahs that we say, Rani akara lo yalada. Sing out, akara, O barren one. Lo yalada, one who has not given birth. So the obvious question is, Mishum de lo yalda rani? Because she hasn't given birth, she should sing out? Surely being barren is a reason for sadness, not a reason for joy. So why is David HaMelech saying that the Navi saying that the barren woman should sing out? So Amrale, so Bruria said to him, Shatya, O fool, Shvil Seifei Nikra, go to the end of the Pasuk and see what's written there. Dichsiv, right after that it says, you should be joyful. Why? Ki Rabim Bene Shomema, for the children of the desolate one, meaning Yerushalayim, Mibnei Va'ula, are more numerous than the children of the inhabited one, meaning an Edomite city. Amar Hashem, says Hashem. So clearly, Yerushalayim is not barren. The Rani Akura is talking about Yerushalayim, that it's barren without any children. But the end of the book says, for the children of the desolate one are more than the inhabited one. So what's going on over there? What's the second half balancing to the first half? Elamai akara lo yalada. So therefore, what does it mean, the barren one who has not given birth? In other words, it's contrasting the Jewish nation with the descendants of Edom, were the ones who destroyed Yerushalayim. So why does it describe Yerushalayim as the barren if she really has a lot of children? It says she has a lot of children. Ki rabi b'nei shomema. The answer is, Rani Knesset Yisrael, let the congregation of Israel sing, Shedoma Isha Kara, for she is like a barren woman insofar as she's barren from what? She didn't give birth to children destined to go to Gehenna as you, the descendants of Edom, do. In other words, Yerushalayim is barren only in terms of producing children who are going to Gehenna, but it's very full of children who are not like them, who are going to get a great reward. So therefore, she's called the barren one, and there's plenty to be happy about if you're barren from not having bad children that are going to Gehenna. That's how you understand the pasuk. All right, well, another similar story, where again it's unusual why the Navi would be singing where he should be sad. Amar la hahu tzedoki l'rabavo. Another tzeduki came to Rabavo. Ksiv, it says, Psalm number 3. Mizmor l'David bevorcho mipnei Avshalom enel. A song to David upon his running away from Avshalom, his son. This is David is praising for being delivered from the hands of his rebellious son Avshalom, who the whole Mizmor talks about the rebellion of his son and his downfall. Okay, so it says a psalm for him running, when he was running away. Uksiv, and it also says L'David Michtam Mevorcho Mipnei Shol Bamarim. And it says, by David, a song of great worth upon his flight from Shol in the cave. That's that famous incident where David was hiding from Shol in the cave, and he was not discovered. And that's Psalm 57. So Psalm 3 is the revolution of Avshalom. Psalm 57 is David running away from Shol and miraculously not found. Now, what's the chronological order? Which story happened first? The one with Shaul.
Yeah.
Because David did not yet even have Avshalom. and the one with Avshalom came later. Yet Psalm 3 is the servant of Avshalom, and Psalm 57 is the psalm about Shaul. So they're out of order. So that's what he's asking. That's what the Sadducee says. Hi, Maisa Havresha. Which incident was earlier? Michti, let's say. For sure, it's Maisa Shaul Havresha. The story of Shaul is first. So if that's the case, Licht Havresha, why isn't written it first? Amarle. Rabbavon said to him, Atun de lo dar shisun smuchim kashlechu. You heretics who don't expound on smuchim. Smuchim means the juxtaposition of one passage to another. Since you don't learn that way, you're going to have a question. But anan, but us, traditionalists, darshidan smuchim. We do expound when two verses are juxtaposed to each other. And therefore, lo kashalan, we don't have a question. There's a reason why Avshalom was earlier in the book, because it's juxtaposed to something else, and now you're going to see what the connection is. Remember, the Torah and the Navi is not a historical accounting of history. That's not the point of Tanakh. It's to teach us lessons. And now we're going to see. Dama Rabbi Yochanan, for Rabbi Yochanan explains the connection between Psalm 2 and 3. First of all, how do we know this idea of smuchim? Rabbi Yochanan says, smuchim in Atzar B'nayim. Where is there a hint that there's a concept of darshaning parts of the Torah that are juxtaposed one to another? Shenemart says, oop-a. Let's try it again. It says in Talmud itself, it says, smuchim la'ad la'olam. So smuchim, they are joined together forever and for eternity. Asuyim be'emes v'yashar. They, the joined passages, are made in a way in truth and uprightness. That means that joining of various passages is not random, but we're trying to teach an eternal truth. Whenever they're joined, whenever there's such a joining, we make the drasha. There's a reason why David said the psalm of his deliverance from the hands of Avshalom to be juxtaposed to the chapter that precedes it for reasoning to give us a lesson. Okay, so now, what is this? So, lama nismacha parshas Avshalom laparshas Gog u'Magog. Why did David, when he put his tillim together, juxtapose the deliverance from Avshalom with the chapter that relates to the prophecy of Gog u'Magog? That's the second chapter of Tehillim. It speaks of that great war that will be declared against God and against the Mashiach by Gog, the king of Magog. That's how Psalm 2 reads. It says, the kings of the nations will rise up, and the nobles will take counsel together against God and against his Mashiach. So why do they have the story of Gog and Magog, chapter 2, the story of Avshalom, chapter 3? What's the connection? The answer is, if a person would say to yourself, that doesn't make sense. Klum, yesh, evet, shemari, barabu, is there ever a servant who rebels against his master? Okay, so that's the rebellion of Gog and Magog. He's rebelling against Hashem, as it were. So you're going to say, yeah, that's not so unusual, because klum yesh ben shemar b'av. You'd think you'd never have a son who rebels against the father. Yet we see that David HaMelech had a son. His son rebelled against him. Elah hava. It happened that there is a son who rebelled against the father, who especially loved him very much. Achenami hava. So too, the rebellion of Gog and Magog against Hashem will also come to pass. So that's what the juxtaposition is for. So you shouldn't be surprised that there's people who will go against the master of the universe. Just like that doesn't make sense, this will also make some sense. Okay, moving on. Amar Rav Yochanan Gemara now is going to show you five psukim, and one of them, remember, we had yesterday the pasuk of the Rishayim will no longer, the sins will stop and the wicked will no longer be. So once we mention that, we connect it with the following. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Yochai. My dechsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says in Mishle? Piha pascha v'chachma v'soyras chesed alishayna. She opens his eshishchayim. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the Torah of kindness is on her tongue. Okay, so Can I get me, Amar Shlomo Gazal? Who is Shlomo Melech referring to when he says this? Lo Amro Ella can I get David Aviv? He said it regarding none other than his father David. Why? What was his mouth opened up with wisdom? What's going on? Shador bechamisha olamim, because he dwelt in five worlds. Farmer Sheeran said a song regarding each and every one of them. Now again, this is all part of Eishes Chayil, which is the allegory of the Torah, and the allegory is used as a woman of valor. So the woman of this particular verse, however, cannot be the Torah, since the verse second clause states that it's the Torah that is on her tongue. In other words, how can you say, the Marsha says, how can you say that's an allegory to the Torah if it says the Torah is on her tongue? So how's it going to be an allegory to the Torah? Therefore, it's referring to David HaMelech, who by Ruach HaKodesh spoke praise regarding five worlds. So why does he use the feminine pronoun? Because it's talking about Ruach HaKodesh that inspires his words. Ruach HaKodesh is always treated as a noun of the feminine gender. You can figure out why. Ruach HaKodesh, that divine inspiration, is understood as a female concept. I guess because you're receiving the words of inspiration. The woman's the receiver, as it were. So therefore, that's the feminine gender. And what about the five worlds that are going on? So in other words, when David lived in a certain era, he sang out certain songs, or was at least reflecting on that. So here we go. Dor bimei imo. So first he dwelt in his mother's womb as a fetus. Vamashira, and he sang praises regarding that time. Not that he sang it in that time, because he was a fetus, but reflecting back on it, he discusses that. Interesting. The commentaries say these five worlds compare to the five levels of the human soul. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. Those are the five levels of the soul. The Nefesh is instilled while one is yet a fetus in the womb. Therefore, David HaMelech offered praise for the time in his mother's womb when he was given a nefesh. Now again, he says, obviously, King David composed this verse not while within the womb, but later in his life when he had Ruach HaKodesh, and that's regarding all the verses below. And he didn't necessarily compose them while in the worlds, they describe it later on. Good. So he first also in his mother's womb, and he sang praises regarding it. Shinemar, because he says, remember the lowest level of soul is called the Nefesh. Borchi nafshi es Hashem, bless my soul, Hashem. V'chol karavai Hashem kosho, and all my innards, his holy name. So his innards refers to the innards of his mother where he dwelt in. So he's blessing Hashem for his period of being in the womb. Next, Yotzer le'avir ha'olam. Then he came out into the world, he was born. And he gazed upon the stars and the constellations. And he said a Shira as well. Now, what's the second level of Neshama soul? It's called a Ruach. That comes at birth and has two aspects. Okay, it's the aspects, it's compared to the air of the world, the Ruach, and to the heavenly bodies. Shenemar, what does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says, Baruch Hu Hashem Malachav Gibore Choach Ose Devaro Lishma Bekol Devaro Baruch Hashem Kol Tzvav. Bless Hashem, O His angels, strong warriors who fulfill His word, to hearken to the voice of His word. Bless Hashem, O His hosts, etc. So His hosts, who are the hosts of the people, the ones who are His soldiers, refer to the hosts of the heavens, which are the stars and the constellation. So He gave praise to this world. So He's praising the world in the womb, then He's praising this world. Okay, third stage. Yonak mishidei imo. He was nursing from his mother's breasts. Vinistako b'da, and he was gazing upon her breasts. V'omer Shiran said praise for that time. Interesting, the time of the nursing gives a level of the soul called the neshama, the third level. So he offered praise for that time when he received that gift. Shenemar, as he says, again, Borchi nafshi es Hashem, bless my soul, bless my soul should bless Hashem. Ve'al tishkechi kol gmulav, and forget not all its nurturing. So my kol gmulav, what is all its nurturing? Amar Rav Avo, says Rav Avo, she'asa lo dadim b'makom bina. Interesting that God fashioned the breasts of a woman opposite the place where she gets bina insight from, which is the heart. Right? And that's what it says by the neshama. And it says, v'nishmas shaddai tivinei. The neshama from God is given them through insight, and that's in the heart. Okay, so the Kuna Zohar talks about it, which in the case of a woman is opposite her breasts. So an infant suckling from the place of insight thus affects the infant's acquisition of the level of the soul called neshama. Interesting, it says in Mishle, ki aim labina tikra, call insight mother. That's mystically, bina is called the mother. Chachma is the father, bina is the mother. So it's called the mother. So that, since a woman has an extra amount of bina yisera, we talked about last Tuesday night, so that's where your neshama is gifted to you. That third level. Interesting. So what happens with kids on formula? I do not know. Well, that's why people are very much less spiritual nowadays. Not the same thing. I'm sure you get the neshama, but it's maybe not as nurtured as well. Okay, anyway, so why is he praising? What was there to praise over here? Interesting, Gemara doesn't ask it in the other take case. And I want to say, what's the big praise? He's nursing from his mother's breast. The answer is time, Mamai. And it's what was God's reason for doing so? Why did Hashem cause that the human child nurses from the breast? Now, usually, where animals nurse from their mothers, it's usually lower down by the hind legs. It's a cow. It's way below. In human species, it's higher up. Did you ever think about that?
Yeah. No, but they walk on all fours, so it's going to be below. There's no other way.
Yeah, I mean,
well, it should have been in the fondo.
Come on.
The front.
Chimpanzees have breasts in the same location.
Monkeys. Well, because they're like humans.
They walk on 2 feet.
They were, oh, yeah, okay. But anyway, you got to remember, where did the monkeys come from?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Not like Darwin says.
Darwin doesn't say that.
Where do monkeys come from? The answer is, when the Tower of Babel was punished, there were three different punishments, and one third turned to monkeys.
Oh, they weren't part of creation originally?
That's what Medrash says.
Oh,
so now that explains how this very much like people.
What happened to the other two-thirds?
Well, got killed, destroyed, whatever. Mixed up the languages, all different things. But anyway, so God made them into monkeys. So if they made them into monkeys, now you understand why they're so much like people. That's a pretty good answer.
Just go back to what we said before. Maybe in the Torah specifically says when Pharaoh's daughter pulled out Moshe from the water, Miriam went and got Yocheved, right? Maybe that said, I got a reference. So maybe it's specifically saying that because of this. That
for his neshama, you mean?
Yeah.
And also, water, you know,
not from.
That's why the halacha says you really should not have a child nurse from a non-Jewish wet nurse for these reasons as well, because a goy does not have this level called neshama. A goy does not have that. So if they don't have that, they can't give it to you by nursing from you. Anyway, so but why was the place of nursing higher up by the human being? So Amar of Yehuda, says, Kideshal yistakal b'makom erva. So the infant will not look at that place of nakedness, at the sexual organs. Right? Then he'd be forced to look on that area. Or another answer, Rav Masnamar, Kideshi Yonak Makamatinov, is they should not nurse from an unclean place. The Gra explains that gazing at the place of nakedness parallels sexual sin, while nursing from an unclean place symbolizes the consumption of non kosher food, both of which are in complete contravention of the purity and wholeness inherent in the neshama. So God created the woman in a manner to prevent the neshama from being tainted by those things. Okay, now that's number three. Rabba Ma'apolosov Shal Rishoyim, then when he perceived the downfall of the wicked, For Mashir, he said, praise. Now, who's the wicked over here? It is the Yetzirah. In other words, what does that mean? When did the wicked downfall? When you mature and become obligated in mitzvahs, you get the fourth level at your bar mitzvah, the chaya, right? And now the development of this aspect depends upon one's actions. One must do good and avoid evil. The chaya comes to full flower only with one's total repudiation of all that the Yetzer symbolizes. So the downfall of one's chaya then signifies the downfall of one's, the development rather. Oh, yeah. Development of the chaya signifies the downfall of the Yetzer hara. That's Shenemar, and here's the pasuk that was referencing earlier yesterday's class. Yitamu chatoi min haaretz, let sinners cease from the world, urishoyim adinom, and they're no longer wicked people. Borchi nafshi es Hashem haleluka. Okay, so we've knocked out the Yetzer hara, and that's the praise of the chaya, which is fully realized when you eradicate the Yetzer hara. Nistakal yoma misa, he reflected on the day of death, from Ashira and said Shira, and that's the final aspect of the soul, Yechida, which even righteous individuals only attain upon death. Aha! So death is a very transformative time in life. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Borchi nafshi es Hashem, Hashem Elokai godalta ma'od hod v'hadar lavashta. Bless my soul, bless Hashem, Hashem, my God. You are very great. You have donned majesty and splendor. This concerns the day of death, and he's praising Hashem for that day. My mashma, how do you know? Dal Yom Mason, it's talking about the day of death. I know that pasuk means that. Amar Rabbi Bar Sheila, Rabbi says, me safe in Yonah. Look at the latter part of the pasuk. At the end of the Boruch Hinafshi, what does it say at the end of the pasuk? Tichsiv, it says, continuing on, Tastir panecha ibahelun tosef rucham yigvon, etc. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you retrieve their spirit, they perish, etc. And to their dust they return. So we see it's talking about the day of death. Okay, so there are five epochs in a person's life, and David HaMelech praises for each and every one of them. See,
what is the last one?
When you die.
No, but what is it called?
Yeah, the
Y. Oh, Yechida.
Yechida.
And what does Yechida mean? Yechida means binding into one.
Oh.
That's when you really get... So, in other words, David HaMelech is looking at certain times in life where it's possible a person would look differently upon this time in life. Would maybe not see what to praise. And David HaMelech is showing there's always what to praise. Even in the day of death, is the time where you totally bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that could not happen afterwards. We'll talk more about this topic on Purim. We're going to learn a little Torah on Purim, the idea of Menahapachu, and we'll see how that fits into that. And there's what the, I know people are very sad when a person dies. That's true. We're not minimizing. A person shouldn't be sad. But you have to realize that death, what does the Medrash say? When Hashem created the world, he said it was Tov, yeah. Me'od. Very good.
Yeah.
Medrash says, what's Tov? Tov is being alive. Tov Me'od is the day of death. It's very good. Tov is the Yetzer Tov. Tov Me'od, Yetzer Hara. Tov is Gan Eden. Tov Me'od is Gehenna. So you see, these negative things seem to be very, very good. So we'll talk about later what that's all about. But that's what David HaMelech is saying. That although we seem to think that's only very sad, and there is a certain degree on a human level of sadness, of course, but on a much more spiritual level, this is the only way the human being is going to become what he's meant to become. Okay, we're going on to the next story. Now that we're on the five Borchi Nafshis, we're going to have a second interpretation of the five Borchi Nafshis. Rav Shimi Bar Ukva, Rav Shimon V'Amrilon, some say it's Mar Ukva, Havishkir Kameda Rav Shimon Pazi. He often attended the class by Rav Shimon Ben Pazi. V'Ava Masadar Agadat Kameda Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, who had arranged the Agadatus before Rav Yeshua Ben Levi. That was Rav Shimon Ben Pazi's expertise. So this rabbi is overhearing him saying the interpretations. Amar Leh, Hello. Omar Le, so he, Rav Shimbar Ukfa, or Mar Ukfa, once said to Rav Shimbar Pasi, my dichsiv, what does it mean when it says, Baruch Inaf Shiyas Hashem, V'chol Karavai Yashem Kishol. Bless my soul, Hashem, and all my inner is His holy name. Baruch Inafshi, some have the custom to say the Baruch Inafshi prayer on Rosh Chodesh. So we're learning the Baruch Inafshi instead of saying the Baruch Inafshi. So what does it mean, Baruch Inafshi? Omale, he says, the way Hashem does things is not the way flesh and blood people do things. Human beings, what do? Tzor tzura, they shape a form al gabi kosel upon a wall. But even though they could be a beautiful sculptor, they can't put a breath of life, a soul, innards, and intestines. You can't do that. Vakodesh Baruch, on the other hand, Hashem ain't a king. That's not that. Tzor tzura, he shapes one. Besoch tzura, he shapes one form from within another form. In other words, a child is developing inside the mother. Umato baruach, and he places a spirit, unasham and a soul, karavayim, innards, ubneimayim, and intestines, as well. And that's godly ability that David Melch is praising when he's saying the words, from my innards, I'm praising my innards to see that what kind of an artist Hashem is. Behind Amr Chamer, and it's this great abilities of Hashem, Damr Chana is what Chana was referring to, because she was an Avia as well, when she said her prayer of thanksgiving to Hashem, where she said, Ain kadosh kashem. There's none as holy as Hashem. Ki ain biltech, or there's none beside you. Vein tzur kelokeinu. And there's no tzur like our God. Literally, tzur means a rock. There's no rock like our God. My ain tzur kelokeinu. What does it mean? There's no rock like our God. Tzur. The word tzur can also be read as ain tsayor kelokeinu. There's no shaper like our God. Because only He can shape one form from within another, to shape with a breath, a soul, inners and intestines, etc., etc.
And she said when she got a child.
Yes. And my, what did she mean when she said, Ki ein biltecha, there's none other besides you? In other words, as a redundancy, once she said there's nobody like Hashem, why say there's none like Him as well? Don't read it simply as there are none besides you, ein biltecha, but rather ela ein livelosecha, the same letters, biltecha, bilosecha, there's none to outlive you. Again, Hashem is not like human being creatures. So many things that we make outlive us. You build a house, the house outlives you. V'kadosh Baruch Hu, mevala ma'asav, Hashem outlives His works because He is eternal. Okay, so we talked about the Baruch Inafshi. Now, there are five Baruch Inafshis. So another interpretation of the five Baruch Inafshis. Now, we return to the original question posed to Rav Shimon Bar Pasi. Omele, so Rav Shimon Bar Ukfa, Mar Ukfa said to Rav Shimon Bar Pasi, this is what I meant to say to you. What I meant to ask you is not just explain the one pasuk, but Hani Chamisha Baruch Inafshi Kenegad Mi'amar David. Who was David HaMelech referencing, or what was he referencing in the five Baruch Inafshis? We had one interpretation, was five epochs of human life. Now he's giving, says, how did you learn it? So he says, Lo Omrin Ela Kenegad Rish Baruch Inafshama. These five Baruch Inafshis are said regarding Hashem and regarding the human soul, that they have similar attributes. And we're going to show you that just how Hashem has certain attributes in its connection to the world, so too is the soul have similar attributes in its connection to the body. So there's going to be the similarity. Maha Kodesh Baruch Hu, just like Hashem, Molei Chol Olam, He fills the entire world. Af Neshama Molei is called Neshama. So the soul fills up the whole earth, the whole body. The pasuk, it shows Hashem fills up the whole earth. Melo chol aretz kivodo. The entire world is filled with His glory. Okay, etc., etc. So that's all that. So it's the same thing. The soul fills up the whole body. Second, ma kodesh baruch hu ro'a ve'in anir, just like Hashem sees and is not seen. Af neshama ro'a ve'in anir. So too the soul can see and is not seen. Mahakadosh Baruch Hu zonas kol olam kulo, just like Hashem sustains and nourishes the entire world. Af neshama zonas kol olam, so the soul nourishes the whole body. Mahakadosh Baruch Hu tar, just like Hashem is pure. Af neshama tar, so too the neshama is pure. Mahakadosh Baruch Hu yoshe b'chadri chadorim, just like Hashem abides within rooms, very secluded. Af neshama yosheves b'chadri chadorim, so the soul is within rooms, as it were, in the most hidden places. So therefore it makes sense, Yav borchi nafshi es Hashem, my soul should praise Hashem. Yavo mishyesh b'chamishit remelo, let the one who has these five aspects similar to Hashem, v'yishabech l'mishyesh b'chamishit remelo, and praise the one who has those five aspects as well. Okay, we'll stop it at this point, and tomorrow we'll come to the famous story with Chizkiyo HaMelech and the Navi Yeshaya and the sickness of him, and that whole story of how he got well, etc., etc. That's tomorrow's. Okay, good start to the